Boom, we're on. And today's guest, we've got DJ Sally Axel. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm a bit nervous coming on here.
And so you should be. You've released a book, Crazy Bitch.
Yep.
I think that's probably a true representative of you. Bit of a nutcase.
Well, I think people think I think I am. I think I've got two layers to me. I think obviously I'm a no shit, take no shit kind of person. And also I've got like a sensitive and more side. But I think when it comes down to it, I'm crazy bitch. It's quite authentic.
So you've got your book, Big Brother. The most recent one, obviously, when you stabbed your ex-boyfriend.
Mm.
Partying, stabbed him.
I wasn't partying. I was just in the house on my own. I was really manically depressed at the time. But
and it went viral.
Yeah.
Your kids there, you lost custody of your kids, but we'll go through all that.
Okay.
Let's get a better understanding of you.
Okay.
Go right back to the start, where you grew up and how it all began.
Well, I was born in Chester, and my mum and dad were married, and then they were in quite a volatile relationship. My mum just decided to get up and leave him, so we moved to Newcastle, where my grandma and grandpa were. We were always moving when I was a kid. I went to 6, 7 primary schools, 4 high schools. So I was quite not a person who was used to sticking around. And it was good until I was a teenager. I mean, my past was really, really nice. I remember my mum being nice when we were kids and we were doing loads of nice things. But I think when I went to high school was when I went downhill in my life. It was just horrific.
Why?
Bullying. I got really badly bullying by girls, horrifically. I remember going out into the park and the dinner time, and someone, the mole jumping on me that much that I had to pretend to have an epileptic fit to make them think I was going to die, to stop battering me, because it was grow up fast kind of thing. And because I didn't have the same accent as everyone, because everyone had either a Birkenhead accent or quite Scouse-ish, Scousers would say that it's not a Scouse, but they had a very strong accent. I speak quite well spoken back then. So I think I was a bit pinpointed.
Yeah. What was, how long were you getting bullied for?
So I was bullied all the way through year 7. I was really, really skinny then because I stopped eating and I was very, very slight. 8 and 9, I went to another school, got my nose broken, had to get it rebroken, reset. The girls all had lighters in their hands. It was over just jealousy a lot of the time as well. And in year 9, 10, I fought back, and I started trying to not be a bully myself. I just tried to not take any crap as much, but it was bad still.
Try to defend yourself.
Yeah, for the first time I had a mouth more. I used to take things out on my back at home. So all of the bullying in school, I would be quite quiet and reserved in school. And then I'd go home and be aggressive to my family. Didn't want to be here. Was suicidal for most of my teenage life, childhood. I mean, to the point I was sectioned twice. And I wasn't just sectioned in a normal hospital. It was an adult's mental hospital. Because back in the 2000s, the way they are now with child mental health, and you can say, oh, this child's depressed, this child's this. That wasn't heard of when I was young, when I was in school. I was just known as being naughty. Not a good, obviously, someone attention seeking a lot of the time, when realistically I was diagnosed with histrionic and borderline personality disorder at a very young age when I was sectioned.
So is that a split personality?
No, histrionic and borderline personality disorder are caused by trauma in your life. I believe that quite a lot of it's due to a separation anxiety because of I didn't really feel like I had a family unit, and also the bullying. I felt very lost as a person, and I didn't know who I was. So it was really horrible. I mean, to the point of I tried to kill myself in school. I remember going to school and then going to the Asda and just walking out back in the days when there was knife crime wasn't as bad, you know what I mean? And just going out with a kitchen knife and just literally going to a cemetery and slitting my wrists and being found there. It's just...
Were you trying to kill yourself or were you trying to get attention?
I think I was trying to get attention now looking back at it. I would have said I wasn't at the time, but I think I just wanted to feel love. I really want stability and love. And my mum didn't know how to deal with me because my mum's brilliant. She's a brilliant grandparent, amazing. She's truly my best friend now. But back in the days, I was just foreseen as naughty and rebellious when really I was actually severely mentally ill. which is it's like crazy. And to think that they put me in an adult mental hospital, like with schizophrenics. And bear in mind, I'm in year 10 in school. And they've put me with like 30, 40 year old schizophrenic. There was a man who thought he was Michael Jackson hiding under my bed. I swear, I was getting changed and all I heard was hee hee. I was like, what? Looked into my bed, there's a man with a white glove under my bed. Like,
I'm laughing, but poor bastards.
Do you know what? When I tell people the story, I mean, when I was in there, I was kind of so scared, but I kind of like, because of my mental illness, I was kind of playing around with it. I think I've seen it more like, I wasn't taking it in properly, and now it's like so traumatic thinking about what it was like. And I remember telling them we were allowed like an hour out in the garden, and it was like maybe a schizophrenic woman, a woman who'd set a throat, and really severe cases of mental illness because you were locked in. And I was like, come on, we've got to escape and go to the pub. So I got like few of them, we all escaped and went to this, it was in Clatterbridge and on the Wirral, and we went to this pub, and I was sitting there flirting with the men, because part of my personality sort of histrionic is I was overly sexual, not in like I had sex, but I like to be sexually, people to be attracted to me sexually, which was weird at a young age. So I was like flirting with the men, getting them to buy me beers, and these four other women, or I think one was a man, I can't really remember precisely, but they were sitting there in the corner of the pub, and I'm playing pool with all these builders. And the next minute I look, I'm like, can you want my number and all this, or whatever I was saying, flirting away for half a lager and lime. And the next minute, this big bus with Clatterbridge Mental Hospital just pulls into the car park. I thought, shit.
So something out one flew over the cuckoo's nest. Was people buying you a drink then? You were only 15?
Yeah, so I started clubbing when I was like 13. I remember like being in my school uniform and I had double G boobs. So I was like really big boobs. And I remember going into the Wetherspoons in the Yatesies or something in Liverpool, and them going, you're in your uniform. I was like, I'm dressed as Britney Spears. They were like, I was like, it's fancy dress, but it wasn't. It was my actual uniform. Mm-hmm. And I think I got taken advantage of a lot by men and peers and stuff, because I was very easily led by males. Not that I was sleeping with them, but I was in very scary predicaments. Like I'd be in cars and on chases and with a lot of drugs and drinking at very young ages in houses of like crack houses and stuff like that, hanging around thinking I was cool, but I wasn't cool. I wasn't cool at all. I was very, now looking back, it's like very taken advantage of, to be honest.
Of course, man, you were only 14, 15.
Yeah.
What were you sexually active at that age?
I lost my virginity when I was year nine, but it was just
so
someone.
How old was you then?
So I was 14, just turned 14.
Still young though.
Very young. I wouldn't, and would never let my daughter ever even leave my house at that age. But I was with the same lad for a few years anyway, and we lost our virginities together and stuff like that. And it was to Robson.
Same age?
No, he was older. But it was to Robson and Jerome, oh my love. Oh my love.
Charmin.
Lovely. But I was then put, my mum couldn't cope with me, so she put me in a hostel, like this hospital called Pembroke Courts. It's like on the Wirral. And I was in there with like, it's a halfway house for like people out of prison. But I was only in year 11 in school. So I had to grow up very fast. I was on income support and I was having to get myself to school in year 11, which I just didn't bother doing because I was like, why would I want to go to school? So you just have to sign people in and out. And it was just a grow up very, very fast. And I was in the middle of Rock Ferry and there was a lot of bad people around me. And it was sink or swim. It was like you fight or you're going to get battered kind of life, living in a hostel. I would never think of my children to be able to go into that. I wouldn't even want them to even see that.
Were you drinking or taking drugs then?
Yeah, I was just going with the flow, I think, of life. And I was always going out with the boy about town. And and then when I left school, I just thought, fuck it, round here. Like, I didn't want to be around here, around Liverpool. And I just decided to move to Ibiza to be a stripper. So I was like...
How long were you in the loony bin for? How can you be in the loony bin at 14, 15?
Because...
An adult one?
So now, looking back...
Is that how fucked up you were?
I know, it wasn't. There wasn't ever any option for children's one. I think I went through such a traumatic experience with child mental health that, it has totally traumatised me. And I think, how the hell could they let... Because I was a child. Like, if you look back now, I was a child. I wasn't... I wasn't a grown adult. I wasn't thinking, and I was with really, it's seriously, I mean, there was a woman in there, it was like, well, 2.5, 3 stone or whatever, skinny, but through anorexic. And then I was with another woman who lost her son, another woman who slit her throat. Like, so visibly, another woman who thought all her teddy bears were children, her children. But I was just this girl who was suicidal, didn't fit in. And I just had always had an urge that I wanted to not be here all the way through my adolescence.
Were you suicidal in there?
What?
Were you suicidal in there?
Yeah.
You're on suicide watch?
Yeah, every 1 minute up. So this was after the Runaways time. This is the second time I went there. They would do 1 minute ob. So I wasn't allowed to be not watched for every 1 minute of the day. I wasn't allowed in my room. They put me in a segregation room. I had a mattress on the floor. I wasn't allowed any blankets because in case I hung myself with them. And it's weird because I don't even speak about it because it's just bringing it back up. But a woman would sit at the door and she'd just watch you for the whole day. And you'd be dosed off your heads with drugs and stuff.
How did the staff treat you?
Really, really nice. They were nice. They knew I was too young to be in there. There was no other people my age in there. And I remember thinking, well, why is my family let me come here? Like, why? But I don't believe that they knew how to deal with child. I don't think it wasn't spoken about back then. It was like a taboo. Child mental health, and it really wasn't something people spoke.
What about your dad?
My dad has been an on-off relationship for our whole life, and I don't speak to him now, and I probably won't speak to him again. It's not deep. I don't believe that blood makes anyone extra special in your life. I believe that it comes with respect and trust and, you know, and honouring somebody. And if you can't show me that, it doesn't matter if you're blood or not. Like, that's the way I treat it.
How does your mum see it now? But I regret, or does she understand that?
She understands me a lot more now.
Help?
Yeah, I think my mum's like... I spoke to my mum about it, and like, my mum is like such, I think whatever she didn't do when I was, because I was hard work, like I was to the point of like, my mum would say, get up for school, and I'd go downstairs and smash her car windows to not go to school. And I'd run away all the time, and she'd have to like hide my clothes so I wouldn't run away. Like, it was bad for them. It was so traumatic for my mum. My mum just didn't know what to do. So I think my mum understands now I wasn't just being attention seeking or naughty. It was more, I was mentally ill, and that is what it is. And I think now I've come to terms with my mental illness. I used to hide it from everyone, and now I'm so open about it, and it feels weird, but it's part of me. And I'm just very proud of who I am, and proud of having it, because without that, I wouldn't be me and my personality.
Yeah. So what age did you go to Ibiza?
Ibiza, I went 2003, 2004, and 2005.
What age?
16.
So very young as well, fucking off.
I fucked off, yeah.
Stripper,
naked.
Very young age,
naked.
Everything.
Naked.
And how was that experience?
At the time, I thought I was the G. I thought, yes, I'm making so much money here. Like, no, my friends are working. My friends are still living at home and being probably nurtured and getting their bills paid and all that. And I'm like living with 22-year-old people and stripping on a night time and got like hundreds and hundreds of pounds, and I was money orientated. Like, I was like, I was really quite clever in school and stuff, but there was no way I was going down an educational approach. I wanted to make money. I didn't want to be in that place. I wanted to be as successful as I could be.
How was it then? Did they know your age, 16?
They found out, and I got sacked on the second year. Yeah, and they were fuming. It was in Gorm's garage. I won't say them because they were already closed down, I think, then. But and the man, when he found out, was a bit disgusted, to be honest. When you're 16, you think you're a fucking woman. You think I'm the woman. I can do this. I mean, and bearing in mind, I wasn't just a normal 16-year-old who was getting her ass wiped. I was paying my own bills. I was paying my own life. Like, anything I had was bought by me. Like, do you know what I mean?
And you're partying heavy then at 16?
Yes, very heavy. Wow, Ibiza was a bit of a blur. Like, probably I was badly, yeah, dead. Just always partying, always off my head.
Did
really.
You feel free there, that you were away, that like you were kind of escaping from the reality of your
got
playing
bullied
here?
A bit in Ibiza, actually, on the first year again. A group of girls did the same thing again. And my actual long-term best friend now, she's called Nina, she actually said, no, you're moving in with us. And she's Scottish, actually. And
best,
she,
the she's best, from, the best.
She's from Falkirk, so yeah.
I wouldn't say they were the best, though.
Yeah, no, she was. She used to drink Buckfast, that's it. Buckfast and make it into ice lollies. And But she just took me under her wing. To this day, she still takes me under her wing, to be honest.
Do you think then, why did you think you'd become a target for so many people? Were you outspoken? Were you aggressive yourself? Was a bit of jealousy? What was it?
I think I was needing acceptance and reassurance all the time because I've worked out like part of my personality disorder is I don't deal with situations the way normal people do. So if backed in a corner, I don't handle rejection very well. So I'm more needy. And I think I used to go out with like absolute, I said used to, it's only been recently I've stopped, absolute fucking loon balls. Like,
but if, so were you?
I got worse as the time went on because I think I'm actually attracted to red flags in the past. Like you get like, pull some red flags out, I'd be like, oh my God. He's for me. Like,
turn on for you.
My mate used to bring me, go, oh my God, this lad's got about 10 red flags. He's definitely your type. I'd be like, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was. I used to try and like think I could help people. Like, if someone's seen someone as the worst person, I'd go, oh no, I think he's lovely. I think he's amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know why, but then I'd be like completely controlled. And because I like being codependent, so I like to have someone constantly with me at all times. So, this is what I've been having therapy for, actually, that I shouldn't feel like this. This is why I'm on my own at the moment, because it's no good. I get like, if they go to the toilet, I'd be like, where are you going? What are you doing? I'm going to the toilet. I go, I stand by the toilet. What are you doing? Why are you leaving me? They'd be like, you're fucking nuts, you. I'd be like, why are you leaving me? Where are you going? What? I'm going to the toilet, Sally. I'd be like, oh, don't be too long.
So major abandonment issues?
Yeah, major. Like, I probably had about a million red flags too. Like, so together we were just like, whoo!
Okay, so every relationship's basically been explosive?
Yes. I'm trying to think of any. The ones that I don't remember probably weren't. The ones that didn't mean anything probably weren't explosive. But I think the major... I've only ever loved one person, my ex, who obviously that incident happened with. He literally, that was game over. Like, no one else matters. When I met him, it was like, whoa. Like, that was it.
How long were you in Ibiza for?
I was in Ibiza for 3 seasons. So I came home in the winter.
Why?
My grandma died in the second season, I think it was. And I had a bit of a traumatic experience over there with... Like, just, it was all getting a bit crazy over there. So a lot of people were on crack over there as well, like, to be honest. And it wasn't just, like, cocaine and ecstasy and stuff like that. The people who were there all the time, who were living over there, was getting right, really, really heavy. It was, like, a different kind of group. Everyone was going into Ibiza Town, waiting for, like, different kind of drugs to come in. And then coming and taking them on the villas. And someone's stuff got robbed. And there was only a few people who knew. It was just getting dodgier and dodgier. And I remember ringing my mum going... thinking, if I'm going to die, like, I'll have to write the name of who it is underneath my bed. And I'm thinking, I'm 17 years old, I shouldn't be dealing with this shit. So, yeah.
Were you suicidal in Ibiza? What was it like after I come down and shit? Still young,
I
not
don't
really
remember
bad,
it coming down because I think I was just off my head every day.
Were you taking medication or anything over there?
No, I've been on and off. Medication's been a bit of my downfall. So they started me on Sertraline, I think it's... Propranolol or Sertraline, I can't remember which one it was, at a very young age, like in my adolescence, teenagers. And I didn't take it. You have to take it every single day, otherwise it makes you more suicidal. And I remember taking, like, some days, then I try and kill myself on, like, 20, 30 tablets. And then I think my mum walked into one of my apartments once and I'd wrote in blood, die, Sally, die, on the wall. Like it was normal, just sitting there having a cup of tea. My mum must have been like, the fuck is this girl on? I should just be off the Richter scale.
But that's perfect, like, Ibiza, because everybody's fucking off the chart over there, so you don't fit in. People might have thought you were normal.
Do you know what? I made some good friends there. And then it was just a fucking crazy.
How did other people treat you in Ibiza?
So when I met the Scottish girl, Nina, everyone was sad. No one would mess with
everybody
her.
Everybody scared of her?
Yeah, no one would mess with her.
What did you do when you come back?
When I came back, I'm trying to think. I was working in Newcastle as a stripper. And then I what did I do? Oh, I just decided to go, what did I do? Oh yeah, before that, oh yeah, so I'm just trying to think now. I was a stripper and then I decided I didn't want to be with men anymore. So I started going out with a girl for like a year and a half called Anna. And moved to Gran Canaria to be a singer. In the Casino Royale show.
Can you sing?
I don't think I should have got the star role. No, but they give me it. But yeah, I always landed on my feet. Like, it was weird. I was quite charming. As much as I was damaged, I was charming. Probably part of my disorder. I could probably... But yeah, no.
So, you end up fucking lesbian.
Lesbian. Then I got close. But then what else? I spoke to my mum. I didn't really speak to my mum.
How was that relationship? Being with a girl compared... Was it still volatile or was it more calmer?
How was the volatile one? So weirdly, I turned into the, like, more like the perpetrator. I think I was a bit aggressive to her, actually. She was really, really lovely. She proper sorted me out. She looked after me all the time. She was older and she was nice, really nice girl. She won't speak to me now, like.
So what happened when you came back from Gran Canaria?
I then decided I wanted to have a baby.
As you do, innit?
No, I see, all my stuff in my life, I've kind of planned what I wanted to do. So I went backpacking around Thailand. And then we met my child's father. And
is that where you met Thailand?
Yeah. So.
And how long was that relationship?
5 years.
Was it? How was it, the 5 years? There must have been love at the start, though. There must have been.
Yeah, there was definitely love. And, you know, obviously, I was married. I got married in my early 20s.
Both to your child?
Yeah, so I got married in my early 20s, which I wore the most vile £60 monsoon dress.
It was How many times you've been engaged?
A few times, but mainly, do you know what? I never got engaged to my ex-husband. I got just married to him, and then like a few years later, we got engaged. A year later, we got engaged after. We got married because he was military, and we had to, obviously, get married to move in a house. So that was pretty simple. I was so isolated, though, in that relationship because I moved down to Plymouth. How the military wives did not like me, like, at all. I was this tattoo girl walking around. Like, I was such a rock chick as well. Like, I'd be at, like, Sonosphere Festival down. I had piercings everywhere. Like, I was just like, fuck you all kind of vibe. But me kid was just in black, big black bow and all this.
So when did the relationship come to an end?
2012. So it was 4 years, actually, relationship. 2009 to 2012,
was that three? Fuck's sake, three. So, many kids you got? One?
Two.
So, who's the guy you stabbed?
Oh, yeah. So, that is my ex, Jared. I don't know if I'm allowed to use his name. Am I? Well, yeah. So, I met him in a brunch. Wish I'd never gone to that brunch. Mm-hmm. I know. And I just knew I was going to be with him. I remember going on my first date and we took me out for a posh meal and I went, I just something about him. I went, come on, let's go somewhere else. He went, do you want to go be local? So we went on the estate in the local pub and I thought, yeah, I'm in there now. He's taking me around his family. I thought, he's not. He was just taking me in the pub down the road. But, you know, I was like, yeah, yeah. Took one outside, spoke to my mate and I was like, I'm going to marry him. She went, you anyone on a date? I went, nah, I'm going to marry him. She was like, I said, just no, I'm going to marry him. He's the one for me. And then, I remember we were like wrecked. And he wrote on me like SW loves GW and with biro. And I thought, I'm not washing that off. I'm going to get that tattooed on me tomorrow. So I left, you know. So I like didn't went in the shower, didn't put my foot in. I was like this. And then
did you get it tattooed?
Yeah, I got it, got straight to the tattoo shop. Oh.
How old were you?
So I was 27.
Then. So you're quite older then.
Yeah, and do you know what? I think for the first time I'd felt home.
Secure.
And I felt for the first time in my life in love and really in love. Like, didn't matter what he kind of did. I was kind of like...
I know.
Yeah, and I think that's the reason that it's so painful because it feels like somebody who treated my heart with such just not kindness, and it was It was bad, yeah.
Yeah, but again, they've worked both ways as well. There have been a time, like you saying you love him, you want to get married straight away, get tattoos. So there's a part of you really loved that man. And obviously, things always go wrong or else they don't end. So it can be difficult. But how was it then when that video went viral, when you're trying to stab him with the scissors and blood everywhere? What's going through your mind then?
So on the day, I remember I was sitting at home and I just felt... He was speaking to other girls and he was moving on. And to be honest, I couldn't move on because as much as we were together or were together, he was always involved in my life. I felt like he was always watching, like he was always going, well, let me look at your phone and stuff like that. So I didn't really move on. And I found a message. He's messaged some girl and I remember just being distraught, like absolutely, because the one thing I thought with him is like, he wouldn't cheat on me because he did love me. Like the lad like didn't go out, he didn't even hang out with his mates for years, you know what I mean? We just didn't leave each other's side. And then I just felt so suicidal. I remember ringing him, I was like, I'm going to kill myself. And I'd said it a few times before and do you know what? I felt like I had a nervous break. This is the first time I'd say in my whole life I'd had a nervous breakdown. Like, it was like my whole world was crashing before me. Like, even though I had two beautiful daughters as well, and I should have been more appreciative towards them, but to me, it was just like I was losing the love of my life, and it was just... It was just disaster in my head.
Difficult to take. So the night then when you're doing that, was there both kids there in the living room?
No.
Just the one?
No, I rang him up and he come round to check if I was okay. And he came in the bathroom and I'd slit my wrists and I just wasn't, to be honest, I was not with it. I took a lot of sleeping tablets. I was off my head. I had took antidepressants. If I could pinpoint a time in my life where I really wanted to die, I probably would be that time. So this is why it breaks my heart so much about the way he acted with it, because for me, when he came into the room and was laughing at me and got out his phone instead of hugging me, that made me more like lose it, because I felt like humiliated. And it was like, I'm at my final steps of what of.
So you were at your wit's end, basically just trying to get attention. But again, if you're a nutcase, you've got to understand he's maybe whipped out his phone because you could have potentially said done it or this.
I think if you listen to the audio of that tape, and I would understand that totally in other cases and stuff like that. And, you know, maybe in a slim fit that was it, but it wasn't, because it wasn't done in a way of I'm scared. It was done in a laughing, I'm going to tell everyone you want to still be with me. And the thing that breaks my heart is when I couldn't be a mother, he should have been a father, and the baby was behind me and I was gone in the head. Like, if you look back on that video, if you don't know if you've seen the video, I'm demented. I'm demented, but I still managed to get the baby out the room, and it shows me that I still had clarity to know what was right and what was wrong, whereas he just stood there and filmed. And I think the more work I've done on myself, I know completely, like, I really did the wrong thing. I shouldn't have acted the way I did. Like, it's completely disgusting, especially when I'm a mother, and I should have dealt with things differently. But I also believe that in the place that I can't be a parent, I would hope that the other parent who is of sane mind could have.
Yeah, but you know what? Fair play for admitting that, babe. So how does that affect you then when your daughter grows up and sees that video? How does that fuck with your mind?
Oh, so it's only recently that I've started thinking about what's going to be. And because my older daughter's going into high school and I'm like, shit. At first it was like, oh, I'm doing OnlyFans. Is that going to come up? But then there's a lot of mums that do that these day and age. And then I thought, this video is so detrimental to my... So him post... This is another reason, like, because he blackmailed me with the video for a year. He told me he had the video for a year and he'd continuously gone, if I went out on a night out, I'm going to post it, So he knew the outcome of what the video was, because I'd rang him millions of times crying, going, I'm going to lose the kids. I'm gonna have fucking nothing. The kids are gonna go. They're gonna go. Like, how can you do that to your daughter? She's gonna have no parents. They're not gonna come to you. Like, honestly, I begged him. And now I'm angry a little bit sometimes, because I think, wow, our reactions have determined my child's whole adult life, school life, because it's going to be seen in schools. It's going to be a reflection of us as a family, and it's going to be a hard pill to swallow for my younger daughter, especially to watch herself in a film, in a clip, and it breaks my heart. Like, it makes me want to make sure that this video is used, and this is another reason I did the book, for a good example to show people that toxic relationships on both parts are really, really bad for kids to see, and they can be detrimental for years and years to come, because I know it's going to cause, I'm always going to be there, but it might cause psychological problems for what they have to deal with.
Did you feel as if you're walking on eggshells then? It's like somebody's in a relationship with a girl, they've made it done a sex tape. Obviously, it's revenge porn, but you had that hanging over your head that it was still in a bit of control of you.
Yeah, well, the day he did it...
He must regret that, releasing that show.
I don't know. He's never said sorry yet. I would hope he does. I think he would regret it for what he's done to the baby, I would hope. But the day he did it, I begged him not to put it up, and he took my phone and he put it on my Instagram, which is the worst thing, because I had so many followers on. It got reposted like 10 million times, 5 million times. I can't remember how many, whatever the story says anyway, if it goes from my head. But it was the fact that the police were rang so many times, and when the police came to the house, like, I'm not an aggressive person, so I've never been in fights or anything like that. Now I'm getting done for Section 18. Like,
attempt murder, serious assault, what's that?
It's under manslaughter. Mm-hmm. I'm like wounding with intent. So they come into my house, and obviously I'm like, they're looking for a weapon, and I'm thinking, oh my God, they were like charging me, and I went, what am I getting charged with? They're like, Section 18. I was like, what's a Section 18? Like, I don't know. Anyway, they were like, it's under manslaughter. Well, I thought, oh my God, I'm not gonna see the kids grow up. I'm going away. Like, I thought, oh my God. So I went to the police station, and they were going to me, this stupid solicitor who was, you know, just there for the duty one, was going, plead guilty. And I thought, I don't know about this pleading guilty, because all I've been always taught to say, no comment, whatever, say no comment. Never, ever, ever say you've got any sort of evidence. He went, nah, you're banged to rights, there's a video there, you need to say you're guilty, and then we can bring it down to what's the one underneath, like, I don't know, battery or whatever it was. And I thought, okay, I'll do that. So I got in the room and I thought, nah, something inside of me said say no comment, and I just kept going, no comment. I thank the gods I did, because obviously it went...
As soon as you open your mouth, you're fucked. And plus the video evidence is there. You might not know you've needed time to go to court.
I could have made myself go away.
Yeah.
So I'm so grateful that...
What a shit lawyer. Who's his name?
I don't know. Don't use him, no one.
Fucking idiot.
Don't be using the duty solicitor in St. Mary's.
So what were you looking at then if you pleaded to it?
Because of the domestic violence that had been in before, I reckon a jury or whatever, they would have put it down, because there was a history of domestic abuse. And I was tormented for this relationship. So I think, not that I'd gone to the police, this was another reason that it looked bad on me, like within my court cases, because I've never rang up and reported Jared to the police, or I don't know if I say his name, but so it was just hospital records and stuff like that. So if I'd done what that stupid man said to do, I reckon I'd at least got 3 years. And I'd have been devastated, because for me, like, losing your children is the worst thing you can ever go through. It's like you're mourning. What I can describe it is, it's not like they're dead, it's like mourning or something. It's like I've got no purpose in life. So, like, I'll get up every day and, like, I get so many trolls now saying you're a shit mum, you're this, you're shit. Like, honest to God, like, that site that I don't want to even mention, like, the amount of stuff they say about me as a mother, they don't know the half of it. I fight a battle every single day, and I want nothing more in my life. I would never even go out with someone now. I am only concentrating on my children and my family being back together, and that is it.
Just try to rebuild. Listen, you're here to to people get a better understanding of your past as well. You've had a fucked up past. You've been through a lot of shit, but you've still got to take full responsibility of your actions as well and what you did that night.
You have to. And do you know what? It's not just responsibility for what I've done as a person. For me, it's the impact that I've got on my family. Like my mum, my mum's had to leave her job, you know what I mean, now. And my kids are going to have to go through school. And do you know what? This in this day and age in school, it's just hard. It's hard. It's fucking hard. And I feel like I have not... give them the best start because of that, and it breaks me out.
How was it then when did you find out you were losing your kids?
Straight away. Well, you knew, you know,
was
didn't
that
you? Yeah, you know, it's gonna happen. And I wanted to do this is another reason I wanted to do this, because I would hope that maybe they would watch this in the future, and because I do believe that there's an explanation needs to happen, and I believe that and I hope other people see this, that people make mistakes. We aren't perfect. And do you know what? I call me whatever you just want to call me, but I literally made mistakes, and I am trying to work to make them better and rectify them. And I was literally broken to anything you can even imagine. And I still now get up every day, try and build to make my life better for them, and try and be stable. And I think that's the main thing within mental illness, to try and keep stable mind, keep into your fitness, keep into your healthy foods, try and keep organized, because messiness can create more messy minds.
So what are you doing? What's your daily routine like now?
So I'm doing a 5 a.m. club, which is absolutely amazing. It's just organized you, because the thought into it is that you are using your mind more while people are asleep, so there's no distraction. So for the first 4 hours of the day, till everyone really wakes up, or the majority of people, you've already done all your stuff that you need to do. So my life is a lot about organization, so a lot of lists, a lot of keeping focused, because if I get in any way distracted, men distract me, so I stay away from them, definitely. And a lot of, like, keeping fit, it's so important. And I don't eat meat, so I haven't eaten meat for 5 years now.
Feel the benefits from it?
Yeah, and my younger daughter doesn't eat meat at all, and never has, and she's so healthy. And, like, she's a lot healthier than what my older daughter was. So
what was the steps then for losing your kids, that video going viral? What's the steps then to building your family together again?
I'm on the right road. Everything's, I can't go into a lot of detail, because I don't want to jeopardize anything. But I'm on the right steps. I'm working well. I've done everything. I've done a lot of therapy, cognitive therapy. I've done domestic violence counseling. I'm now doing a guest appearance on the DV course for the UK, talking about my book. Because it is a traumatic experience, and the book is about gaslighting. It's about narcissistic behavior traits. It's about red flags. It's about, and I'm the queen of finding them red flags. Listen, I could find them under a rock. Like, honestly, like, I can find them in a bar. Like, I could stand by someone, and the majority of the people who would talk to me would be fully red flagged.
Yeah.
I just attract them.
How did the idea of the book come about? Were you scared of doing it?
No, I wanted to do the book because, I was getting so, when I got arrested, it was in all the papers, and then every front cover, and this is what really irritates me about the press, without any conviction, they posted Sally Axel Sally Axel stabs boyfriend in front of toddler on every single newspaper without any conviction. It wasn't really saying what I'd done. I mean, a stabbing would he be wounded? Like, do you know what I mean? It would be... So they kept wanting a story out of me and ringing me up, do you want to do this story? And I thought, you know what, I'm only going to get about, 1,000 words. Why not write a book? So I sat at home for the 3 weeks because I was fucking trying not to be out in public because I was getting so much death threats. I just wrote a book. I wrote it, and my management at the time, like, released it onto, Amazon.
Yeah.
And I got number 2 bestseller, I got number 1 new release. So, which was really shocked, because I didn't like expect that at all. But it was brilliant because I got my story out, and also, like, you don't understand how many girls I have every day messaging me, just with, like, the same situations. There's so many people and males going through very similar situations where you do feel on eggshells in the relationship, and it is toxic, and that is the only word you can use for it. Toxic. On either part, it's toxic.
Yeah, and both parts, like I say, you've been part of the problem, and so is obviously our ex-boyfriends. Yeah. It's not just a case of pointing fingers and blaming everybody else, because...
And you've got to let go of it all. You've got to you've got to forgive and forgiveness and say sorry.
What's your relationship like with your ex now?
Non-existent. He's met someone else, I hear, and it's non-existent. I wish him all the best. I hope he finds peace, and I hope he can have a healthy relationship in the future, because that's the main thing, because we have got a child together.
Yeah, fair play. That's the only reason you can move on. Yeah. So going through all that then, we're getting the trolls. How did that affect you? How long did that last? Is it still going on
the
today?
Trolls. Oh.
Does that push you to the brink of suicide again, or does it make you stronger now?
Oh, I have tried. Every day's a battle with this. There's a site, and obviously I think most people know about this site, and it's absolutely vile and disgusting. And it's every single day. I mean, these people are to the point that they're taking photos of me when I'm out in a supermarket, and they're posting, look what she's doing. I'm getting stalked by these people. Like, I'm not even like lying. I'm getting absolutely stalked by these people. Like, if I'm not online for 2 hours, where's Sally gone? Why is she not online? The stuff they say about me as a mother, sexually disgusting stuff. The other day, someone came on and said she's gonna string herself up soon and do herself out the misery. Like, these are the type of things. Like, and especially because I've got mental illness and I haven't got my family around me. It's just disgusting, like absolutely disgusting. I mean, I broke down a lot. Like, I did a live the other day and I really broke down in it, and I'm sick of crying over it, to be honest. I am past letting these people affect me, because I do believe that these people aren't very nice people in their hearts. So not me, they might be good people at one point in their lives, but they've got a lot of hate in themselves, because to go and sit on a site and be anonymous and just write loads of hate about people. And I have caught a few of them, you know, and I spoke to one the other day. She did something wrong. She left her, when she'd screenshot one of the Instagram things, she left a profile picture on the side. So I found, I started looking through all my Instagram, found that same profile picture, and I messaged her. And I said, why are you doing this to me? Because I just thought, I need to know, what have I done wrong to make you. I'm talking, there's like 5,000 comments on threads, like lots. And she said to me, she was from Australia, so I don't even know how I bothered her that much. She said, my husband died, and he got shredded in machinery, and this was my only place I felt like I had friends. Well, I was going to argue with her, and I just, me as a person, because I'm quite an empath, I just wrote back to her and I put, you know what, you need to concentrate on that beautiful son of yours you've got there, because I would do anything to have my kids with me, so just concentrate on him. Concentrate and put all your love into him, and don't put your energy into sites like that. And I wished her all the best. And she went back on the site and put, I don't want to get involved in any of this anymore. I've spoke to Sally. She seems really nice, and she's changed my mind about her. And I thought,
but silence is golden. You need to stop looking at that site, because
I don't look at it anymore.
Out of sight, out of mind, and fuck everybody else, man. What, admit it? Not me. That bastard. That fucking crackpot. Just out of sight, out of mind. Get off it, man. It's difficult, but silence is key.
I think the thing that I really do want to be silent about it, and I know I'm drawing attention, but I feel like I am doing, I think like so many influencers and so many people who've been on reality TV show, and so many people who are in the media who are on them sites, because you're only allowed to be on them sites if you've got over 10,000 followers, which I shouldn't be even allowed to be on there now, because they've hacked my account and they laughed about it. So I don't even know how I'm still on there. But everyone's scared to mention this site, yeah, because no one wants to look at their own threads. So everyone's tiptoeing about it like this. And I think, do you know what? I feel like I can help people. I don't know why. And one of my friends, she's been to therapy because of the site. She had to come off social media, and she messaged me going, I'm really worried about you. You need to stop looking at the site. And I thought, I will stop looking at the site, and I have stopped looking at the site, but I still want people to, I feel like I can change people's minds about going on it. I don't know why. I think it's just so,
you're fighting a lost cause, man, because those people will be mentally disturbed.
That's what I'm saying. So
fuck them, man.
So I'm doing a podcast in a minute with girls, and I'm doing it with all these OnlyFans girls on tomorrow. And then I want to do it with a mental health worker, like a woman mental health worker. And I want to analyze this. Is this a mental condition, being a troll? Because I think it's going to be a name mental, you know, like I've got histrionic and borderline personality disorder. There's going to be like troll disorder or something. There's got to be a disorder, because it's unhealthy.
But they have no life, they've no fun in their life, they've no positivity, their lives are already in hell, so you've got to feel sorry for them. Yeah. You've just got to send them love until they love themselves, which is difficult because we've all got ego, we've all got a bit of, like, I will always come out swinging if somebody steps up to the plate, I will always step forward, but I don't ever search for it. Yeah. If it comes my way, listen, I'm here.
But the thing that annoys me is, like, these people, like, literally would not say this to my face because I have been... I'm full.
But
I'm
you know full. This, but yet you're still searching
but
for
no,
it.
But no, so that's why I don't read it anymore because it literally is... It's impossible. But when I receive stuff like, you know, like, when you see, like, the Caroline Flack thing, and the thing that resides with me with Caroline Flack is because, and I don't mean to bring her up on this because only because it's a year anniversary, that she was tormented by a domestic violent relationship, that she was in the media as being a perpetrator, the same as me, and without a conviction. And the amount of trolls that in the media that can just direct people.
But even
trolling.
If you got a conviction or not, because the video was there, so yeah. You were fucked no matter what.
I was fucked.
Do you know what I mean? So you had to just put your hands up to it and say, do you know what, I've done wrong, but I fucked it. What's the script now with... your kids, have you custody yet? Are you still working on it?
Yeah, just a work in progress. I have a family, I'll be back together very soon. But I can't really go into it.
But you seem in a good place.
Do you know what? Like, I think even better than, like, the last month or the month before, I feel like I'm glowing again because I know what my direction is. Because I think I've always been like, oh my God, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? And I think I know where I'm going now. And I think for the first time in my life, I feel like I am happy with who I am being on my own. I think I've always needed a relationship and, like, I'm paying my own bills and paying my own card, paying my own life. Like, I don't need anyone and it feels fucking amazing. Like, do you know what I mean? I just feel great.
But just stay in that path then. Yeah. Stay true to you.
Exactly. And I just feel like, you know, just need to keep focused and to keep try to not get off the party and it's no good. I think this lockdown has probably helped me a lot because because it's lockdown and everyone, I know it's really bad for all business and stuff, but it stopped me with temptation of going out because if I haven't got the kids there, I'm like, oh, I may as well go out. But, and I've moved totally out the area, totally away. So I've totally segregated myself and concentrated on country walks. I know it sounds like probably... People like, Sally, yeah, really. But I've really, really gone back to basics within myself. I've done a lot of therapy. I think therapy is the main thing to do if you suffer a domestic violence, mental illness, anything. Talking about it is like the most important thing.
How much therapy you done?
A lot. A lot. See, I was supposed to stop my therapy with my woman a month ago, and I just said, please, can you just carry on? She's like, but you're finished. I went, no. I just have her on call now. I ring her up, and to be honest, I put people on her when girls message me about their relationships. I like, I'll go ring her up. Go, what can I do about this girl? Like, because she's so, and my woman Victoria, she's so amazing. And for the first time, I hated therapy because when I was asked to do, like, I had a psychological analysis like a few years ago and it was horrible. It was like this man who sat there and I have problem with male authoritative figures. I like, if I can't manipulate them or make them like say what I want and they're really firm, it makes me feel uncomfortable and I want to like rebel against them. So I think this was the first time I'd found a therapist that I really opened up to, and I felt like I was just chatting to my friend, and then, but she was helping me. And she helped me deal with a lot of the situation with Jared and getting over it. Because to be honest, I still obviously loved him till about a year ago. Like it wasn't just an instant, I don't love him anymore. Because you kind of, it's like the Stockholm syndrome. You love the person who's probably the worst person for you. You end up like needing that love and was addicted to that toxic love. Which is crazy.
It's fucked up that how the energies attract. So it just shows you that you were both battling whatever trauma, demons or trauma you have been battling back in the day. But as long as you can keep your side of the street clean, keep your side of the street clean now. Yeah. Because no matter how fucked up you are in life, no matter your mistakes, you've got to let go. And if other people are coming forward, if you're writing books, if you're now helping other people through abusive relationships or other stuff like that, then you've just got to kick on. You've got to try and concentrate on the positives.
Yeah.
Keep working on you, and we all make mistakes. Listen, I speak to fucking murderers and bank robbers and people forgive them. Like, it's not the end of the world. Yes, what you've done was wrong, but it's clear that you're fucked up in the head back then. Do you know what I mean? You're maybe drinking, taking drugs, all the shit that you've been through when you're younger, abandonment issues, been in the loony bin. It's a lot for a young girl trying to kill yourself, looking for love through the wrong way. So that is difficult, but there's nothing you can do but just fucking move on. Try and concentrate in the day and move health, on for the future.
Health is wealth. Like, I really believe, like, health, really watch what you're putting into your body. And, you know, food-wise, so that's the energy that you're going to be using throughout the day. And really, really trying to be as positive you can. Like, say if you, like, I used to be, like, dead angry driver, arguing with everyone all the time, snappy, snappy, snappy. And I would just get the worst day, then a worse day, then a worse day. I'd really try and, like, now not let things affect me or little things bother me. Pick your fights wisely. Don't try and fight with everyone.
How many tattoos you got?
Lots. I've got loads.
And what's the script with us in the papers when you got the heel implant kind of thing?
That wasn't real. But we were doing, because I was working with a girl and we were doing a documentary on false news and the way the media believe anything. And to be honest, there was no surgery that I was saying I had, and they still were writing about it. But then obviously the stabbing incident came after, so we never released it. But, you know, it started off when I went to LA, because I went to Botched. I went and filmed Botched with LA in LA, and they were like, oh, you want your heel implants? So it kind of
people
just,
get heel implants?
I think there's something in China or something. I don't know. I'm not really into it.
So that wasn't real then? You got heel implants?
No. I'm going to get surgery in a couple of weeks anyway as well. Get my bum done again. But
to get what? Your ass done?
Again, yeah. I'm going to get it bigger.
So going forward for the future then?
The future.
Tell me, what's your plans?
So my plan is to now do my podcast with the girls.
Right, when's this out? Where can people watch it?
So we're filming it tomorrow. They are going to be, it's going to be out at the end of the month. So that's going to be really cool. It's just going to be, I really just wanted to have a girls podcast with only girls on and be like girl talk, like about the dirty secrets to like the worst dates to like, the weirdest messages girls have had on OnlyFans, how to make the most money. I'm gonna do some about marketing, about how women can make money and how can they hustling.
Oh, gotta be, man. That's what life's all about. Hustle. All the perverts will bond that. So is that going to?
Well, we've got free girls.
Nick will bond that anyway, wouldn't you, bro?
Do you want to film this one?
Is it on YouTube?
Yeah, so I'm going to put it on YouTube.
Right, what's the link? Send me the links. I'll put it in the description.
I'll send you all the links, yeah.
So this is girls from OnlyFans, strippers.
So the first two episodes are going to be girls, dirty little secrets from OnlyFans. So we're going to find out about some of the perverts.
I'm not going to say that. Just don't
the
be
amazing customers
me on
that pay me a lot of money. Thank you.
Out them all, fuck them. How is the OnlyFans then? How are you feeling with that?
Well, I initially started it because I was in a situation, because obviously Jared left me with no money and I thought, fuck, what the fuck am I going to do? And obviously I had kids to pay for, so I started it then. And then I kind of had a love-hate relationship with it. I made loads of money in the summer because I was like, I love it. And then I just went off the radar for September and October. But now I'm getting back in the swing of things, because do you know what? I've realised it is what it is. I am sick to death of thinking that women can't be sexualized, because it really isn't the case. Like, we shouldn't be scared to be sexual and think, oh, what will they think? So what? If you want to go sleep with whoever you want to go sleep with them, it doesn't matter. We can do whatever we want as women. I just think there's a bad prejudice on OnlyFans. And that's kind of why I wanted to do my little thing, sit down on the couch, because I just believe that women are sexual beings. So just go out and get your tits out everybody, if you want.
But everybody, as you've just got to be careful. As long as you're happy, as long as you're not hurting anyone,
exactly,
then be who the fuck you want to be. Like, I know plenty of girls that do OnlyFans. I know the porn stars.
Do you know how
I
much they're making
all
those? Like, some of my friends are making, they're making 50k a month.
But as long as they're happy, because the money becomes
but
a
But I think that's the good thing with OnlyFans, that it's not you're not getting exploited by other people, because
so what's yours like? Is it what is it?
No, mine's not like. I don't want to say that, because I will not say this, because then we'll not get people subscribe.
No,
mine's amazing. It's so dirty.
So do people subscribe for the month and then?
So they subscribe for the month. So some girls, you just, this is what I think about OnlyFans. This is why I enjoy this site, because it is your own boss. You're not being exploited in any way, because if you want to post one day, you can post. If you don't, you don't. It's not like you're working for an agency and they're like, you've got to get naked now. Go on the bed and do this. It's literally women who are being girl bosses and making loads of money. And why the hell not? I mean, it's people go, oh, do you want to get married and have kids? Well, if my fella doesn't like me in nice lingerie and being good in bed, then well.
Yeah. I've interviewed dominatrix and shit as well, and the shit they got up to is they've got guys fucking filled nappies with custard and kicking them in the balls. And
oh, I don't. Well, mine isn't like this. I mostly my followers are mostly scouse, by the way. I'm like, I was gonna do
scouse pervert.
I was gonna do this thing where you can change so you can't know people from your area on there. My mate was like, you've got to do it. You don't want people in your own area seeing it. And I went, I'd lose like 90% of my customers if I took scousers out.
But guys love crazy as well. Guys love nut jobs.
Well, I think when that video came out, I was literally sitting there like, and no one knew I was single before that. And then next minute, my Instagram blew off with half of Walton Prison fucking messaging me through. I was like, oh my God. I swear to God, I've never had so many people follow me and message me with bulldogs or whatever. But it's just their profile pictures. Yeah. Fucking staffies. I was like, but yeah, it flew off. He put me on the radar for like fucking anyone who likes psycho bitches in the world. I was like, no, this isn't what I like anymore.
So would you have another book for the future?
Yeah, so I'm going to be doing another book on the... I'm going to be doing another book on women empowerment, and it's going to be like a journal book, so you can kind of interact with it as well. So it's like a really... like a place that people can like... start the foundations of their journey. So it's not just about my journey, it's about helping people with their journeys as well.
What about looking back at your life so far? What do you think?
I think it's a fucking mess. No, I'm joking.
So would that be honest? It's a fucking car crash. But listen, at least you're here still smiling. That's all you can do is smile, try and rebuild. The first objective would be get the family back, get stronger.
That's the only objective at the moment. I mean, I am the most happiest when I'm a mum, and as much as people can say what they want to say, I was born to be a mother, and I cannot wait for me to just move to the next steps. I think I deserve it now. I've paid the price. And
so see, when you got the psychologist and stuff, does that help you then getting your kids full custody again when you do the psychology stuff?
Yeah, I mean, anything.
Is that all reports?
Yeah, I've just done a social media course for kids on social media. I'm doing a kids' mental health course at the moment. I am doing every goddamn thing you could think of to get my family back together. There isn't a thing, there isn't a stone unturned. I literally, I'm probably the most annoying person in the world, because I'm like ringing everybody, what's going on? What's happening? Because I'm ready now. I'm ready. I don't think I was ready as when that, I think everyone does the right thing at the time. And I believe I was in such a mental state. I remember thinking, oh my God, I want to put these kids in a car and just drive us off a cliff? Because I didn't want them to take them that much. And I remember thinking, what the fuck am I thinking this for? Like, how can you even think this? I'm thinking I'm fucking losing the plot here. And now I know I wasn't ready. I wasn't mentally stable enough to be a mum back then. Yeah.
Do you think that incident that night then potentially saved your kids' lives?
I don't think it saved the kids' lives. I think the kids I don't think it saved the kids' lives in that retrospect. I think it saved a big disaster happening.
For you to understand that you were struggling, that you were having a nervous breakdown.
I think I would have ended up dead. I think I 100% was in love with Jared so much. I think I would have ended up dead. I think I would have just ended up on top of myself. Honestly, I just wasn't all there. I think it took me this to regain. And now they come back, I'm like, oh, I don't have them feelings anymore, because I see now how disastrous it was. But I think we were both just so in love with each other in a toxic way. It was just crazy. I did hear by one of my mutual friends that he said that it was the best thing that happened, that video coming out. And I personally think it was the best thing that came out, because I just think without that, we wouldn't have split up, because as much as we were split up, we would have always gone back to forward, step with each other, not step with each other, step with each other. And I think it would have gone on for like, until I was 40, 50 and proper washed up. Like, I would never have been able to meet another person. I was just been at the end. So I think in a way, it's given me a new lease of life, and it's made me like really work on who I am and be a better person. I mean, my daughter said to me the other day, she was like, I would like to get married. I want to get married. My older daughter says, I want to get married. I thought I was going to get married next year. She went, don't bother, mum. I went, what do you mean? She went, I just like you as an independent woman. And I thought, they're seeing me as an independent woman, and that makes me happy. Like, I'm no longer like money dependent on a man. I'm no longer emotionally dependent on a man. I'm no longer lost. I'm really, I think even from being young, the first time I've really found myself.
How do you think the day you get custody of your kids again, how do you think that'll make you feel?
Oh, it'd be amazing. I couldn't even describe it. It literally, it's not like it's going to happen like one day. It's just like a work in progress now. So I just want the best for them. And if I'm not, if I wasn't the best for them, then I agree with that. But I believe I am the best for them. And I believe every child needs their mother. And I am literally adore my children. And I never really talk about this. So it's quite weird me having a conversation with someone, because in the media, I've tried to really wipe it out, like not speak about it, because I just, out of respect for them. But the reason I'm wanting to talk about them today is because I've told you, like, there's a background story rather than just mentioning them. I don't put them on social media or anything. And I just think that the best place for them was with me, and that's it. And I've done everything I can now. I'm working so hard. And I think that's my only main objective now. It's the only thing. Like, in the future, I want to be... I'd like to do more speaking in public about for women. I'd like to do my podcast. I'd like to do another book. Obviously, I'm doing another book, and I'd like to be a good, role model for my kids. And I don't think I have always been that. And I think in the future, I really want to change not everyone's perception of me, because people will either like me or they'll hate me. But I want to change. I want to make sure my kids are proud.
That's the only thing that really matters, isn't it? So for anybody that's watching just now, it's maybe suicidal. You've obviously been there, tried to top yourself a few times.
Yeah.
You've come out the other end, you're doing well again. What advice would you give for them?
Know that you're not alone. Talk to somebody. And if you've got no one to talk to, really just remember why you're important in this world. Remember who you are. Remember what you bring to this world, because everyone has a special quality of why they're here. So remember why you're special.
Sal, for coming on today, babe, and telling your story.
Thank you.
I know it must have been difficult, but
thank
you're
so
here.
Much.
I wish you all the best for
thank
the future.
Thank you so much, babe. Bye.
You can also watch my podcast on my YouTube channel. The link is in the bio if you'd like to subscribe. You can follow me on my social media platforms to see who my next guest is. Follow me on Facebook at JamesEnglish11, Twitter, JamesEnglish0, Instagram, JamesEnglish2. You can also download these podcasts on iTunes or Spotify.